بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر وقال ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم صدق الله العظيم. This will be a few lessons that we derive from the seerah, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the light of Quran. When Sahaba radiallahu anhum would be asked what was his character, what was his nature, what was his life, so one beautiful answer that would be given was kana khuluquhu al-Quran. This his entire character, his nature, tabiat, his sirat was Quran. As an ayat would come down, that would become him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam then made it him, and then he gave a command that every person who is mine, that is why we are called an ummati. We are related to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that ti, that ending ummati, I am an ummati, you are an ummati, that word e means related. We are related to his ummah, to his nation. He had a relationship with every single individual where he said, ana wa man ittaba'ani, that this is my road, mine, not only mine. He said, it's the road of whoever is with me, following me. So when we speak of his seerah, seerah means a path he walked. It was a path he walked and a path he pulled the people behind him on. We will see that as he explained Quran to his Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, they explained it to the next generation known as Tabi'in. They explained it to the next known as Tabi' Tabi'in. They explained it to the Ummah that would come after. Until today you will find a person sometimes walks and you will ask him, why are you walking in this manner? And he will say, following the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You will find a boy tying a turban. You will ask him, why in this manner? You'll say, following a seerah. It was such a path he walked that Allah tabarakallah made the footsteps of that path continue being visible after 1,400 years have passed. No one else's footsteps in the world you will ever find. You will go and see the traces of old monuments. They'll take you in. They'll say to you, it seems perhaps they used to do this in this area. Perhaps this was the kitchen. Then they will make it such. You will look at it, you will be amazed. And when you will come out, it's the end. I visited castles, castles of the people of the past. They take you inside. They show you this was the chicken, this was the mutton. This is where the cooking was. This was the toilet. You look at it, you're amazed. How they went toilet in that time? As soon as you step out of the castle, you get into your car, the entire castle is forgotten. One life, however, Allah tabarak ta'ala preserved in such a manner, that you would go into the book of seerah, into the book of ahadith. You would go into the city of Medina, Munawwara. When you would come out, you would take that lifestyle with you also and go wherever you're going. A person would study how his hair was, but when he left, he was told, and your hair will be like his hair. A person studied how his smile was, how his walk was, how his talk was. Such a unique seerah that whoever was going to study it, Allah Tabarakallah was going to create a magnet, and the next person who read it was going to get clicked, and he would say, I want to be exactly like this. So that 1,400 years later, there are certain narrations. A Sahabi radiallahu anhu says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam held my hand, and he said something to me. Or he says, he put his hand on my shoulder. The teacher would teach this hadith in this manner. He would take the hand of the student in his hand, and then he would narrate it. Or he would put his hand on his shoulder and then he would narrate. 1,400 years would pass and the exact action also, the teacher would also do it. He would say, as he did it, it will live right through the eras.
This is the meaning of seerah. These lessons we are going to take, it is not a seerah, jalsa or bayan of an individual who lived 1400 years ago. It is the life of an individual who is still alive. He's alive, his heart, blessed heart, pumps spirituality into the entire world from the city of Medina Munawwara. And his sunnah creates radiance in the entire world. Be it in Lichtenberg, be it in Azadville, be it in Africa, be it in Asia. Wherever you will go, you will not only find on the tongues of people. If you go into the Christian world, you will find the word Jesus, Jesus, Mary, Mary. But when you will tell the person, how did Jesus look? They have absolutely no idea. Sometimes the one who studied, you can ask him, does Jesus look more like me or does he look like you? And that person will keep quiet and he will say that Jesus used to wear the long garment. I will say, Mary, does Mary look like your wife or like my wife? And then that Christian will look shy, he'll look at his wife, he'll say, definitely Mary never looked like her. If Mary saw her, Mary would have closed her eyes also. And say, where my daughter, your clothes all fell out. They do not know about Nabi Isa alayhi salam anything, but it's on their tongue. And if you come into a Muslim world, a young boy can go into a school. As he's eating, he's going to read one dua. Either he'll read Bismillah, which is short. He'll end his food and he'll say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amani, wasaqani, waja'alani muslimin, waja'alana muslimin. The teacher will ask him, why are you saying this? He'll enter the toilet, he'll enter with his left leg. He'll be coming out, he'll come out with the right leg. He'll be put on his kurta or his qamis or his jacket, he'll put it with the right. Taking out, he's putting it from the left. Then it comes the time of wudu, he's sitting to make wudu. Now the teacher wants to know, where you learn this? Imagine that child can say, that the manner I wash my hands is the manner my master 1400 years ago washed his hands. You will say, you don't know about Jesus, what he wore. I know how he wore it. You don't know what he wore, I know how he wore it. I know when he put on from the right, I know when he took out from the left. I know which leg he entered the toilet with, which leg he came out of the toilet. Ask a person in the world, your grandfather, do you know what your grandfather ate for breakfast? And then ask a person, your master Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do you know what he would love? The day of Eid came, I heard the young children speaking that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the animal was slaughtered, he liked to eat the liver, the kalaji of the animal. When I heard it, it made me so happy. Everyone enjoys eating it. Everyone waits for it. Bring the kalaji, bring the liver. But now the person who's eating it says, I only like to eat it because 1400 years ago my master said, bring for me also. That relationship we have with Rasulullah SAW, no one has. How he walked, how he talked, he wanted us to live with him. In the surah, a lesson that he gave to his ummah was, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was found standing in his salah. It was the salah of the night. He would stand for hours and hours, most of the time in that salah, and in the dua following the salah. In the salah, he would read ayat, in which Allah tabarak ta'ala's mercy was being spoken about. And he would cry and read it, cry, that mercy has to fall on my ummah. And then after the salah, when he would make salam, it would be dua. And in dua again, he was crying and crying. Everything he was asking for was not for him. And it was not for his family. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a dua which if he wanted, his entire life could have become the life of the king of the era. He could have made his daughter's life the life of the queen of the era. But when he lifted up his hands, his du'as are recorded. In his du'as, it is only the praises of Allah and asking for his ummah. Only the praises of Allah and asking for his ummah. So when they asked him that your legs are swelling, has Allah tabarak ta'ala not forgiven your past? and your future. That what is the need for you now to do so much? So one unique answer he would give, he would say, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be the grateful servant of my Allah? And this lesson now we are going to try and learn from this surah, أَلْحَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ. Should I not be the grateful servant of my Allah? In such a unique manner, Allah Ta'ala has discussed how man behaves, أَلْحَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ, and how man should be behaving, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Al-haqumu takathur, the translation of this verse is so unique. So unique. It was when Nabi Sansom read this verse to a sahabi, the sahabi's life would change. Al-ha yulhi means lahun. Lahun means some pastime, some amusement, some attraction, some entertainment. Al-ha means that you get hooked towards something which is so thrilling, it makes you forget, oblivious of something that you know is more important. Al-haakum. Allah Ta'ala says, something has made you oblivious. Some pastime, some attraction, some entertainment, something unique, close to the heart. But Allah Ta'ala never explained, it made you oblivious from what? Something made us oblivious, but oblivious from something more important. What's more important? Allah Ta'ala left that. And what made us oblivious? At-takathur. Takathur has three meanings. Me and you will put ourselves, either we on grade A, grade B, grade C. By the end of the surah, we have to be out of all three. And we make this intention, that as the surah created revolutions in the lives of the people of the past, they understood it when they read this. Immediately they said, this should not be me. And then they ended off completely different. Takathur, the first meaning, from the word kathra. Kathra means lot. Takathur, the first meaning is the desire to get more. The desire to get more. To get more of what? More of wealth, more friends, more company, more properties, more cars, more gadgets. Again, Allah Ta'ala left it general, that every person must think about me, where am I? The desire to get more of what is within me. A man looks at his phone, how many followers do I have? Immediately he must say, hey, I'm in the surah, At-Takathur. The desire to have more followers. I looked at it again. Yesterday was 200. Why is it not going to 210? The desire to get more. Second meaning of takathur. The desire to have more than the next person. First meaning was just the desire to have more. That's takathur. That has made man. Allah Tabarakullah doesn't say man. He say kum. Kum means you. So I am part of you, you are part of you. Our Allah is saying the desire to have more. Second meaning, the desire to have more than the next person. That's grade B. I got lot. But because someone got a little more than me, instead of me looking at the one who got nothing and being happy, I'm irritated, I'm burning with jealousy. I can't just see him, he's going again for a holiday. He's just flying for Umrah. The other day he just came back. Now it's burning me. Why can't I have more than him? And if ever I start getting more, it doesn't make me happy that more has come. What makes me happy is I can make him jealous of me. My whole life now starts revolving about him or her. That when they see how they'll feel, I must show them a point. If I get a smart car, the car doesn't make me happy. They must see me driving that car. Whether they ever see or not, who knows? But it's just that they must know. And if they don't know, I'm going to show them. And that is why the whole world got caught up in today what is called my profile. It is called a selfie. I will show everyone, the one who likes me, the one who doesn't like me. I'll show him where I'm going for holiday. Before I go for holiday, I'll take a picture of my ticket to show I'm flying. When I'm in the air, I'll send a message. So many miles in the air and I got connection also. Again, my message. Everyone in the world is dying on the world must know me. Islam taught. Islam came to teach. Al-aynu haqqun. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, remember this eye has its effect. When you allow people to see you too much, it will affect you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught his sahaba, live a hidden life. He said, live a life in such a manner when you spend, your own one hand must not know what the other hand is giving. He said, keep such a private life. The issues between you and your wife, let it remain in the house. When the gifts of Allah come, let it remain to make you and your family happy. He said, when you are making some food, then make khiyal, a thought of the neighbor. If there's a chance that the neighbor's family is hungry, then he said, add a little bit more water in the gravy, make more gravy, and then send it to your neighbor. Because if you eating and he's smelling and food doesn't reach him, his eye and his heart will affect you. He said, worry about him. Otherwise, let the smell not go out. He did not like that man should show off, because showing off causes harm to the heart of another person, and it causes harm then onto the man who got the gift himself. Al-aynu haqqun. No other madhab in the world taught the people this. It was the beauty of Islam. You got the gift of Allah, enjoy it. But don't show it. Showing it's going to make somebody else sad. And that man's sadness is going to make you sad. You're going to spoil everything just because you opened it up. Second meaning of takathur, the desire to have more than the next person. Allah Tabarakallah said, that has made you oblivious of something more important. What is more important, left general, but made you oblivious of something more important. Third meaning of takathur, boasting about how much I got. They are the great three. You will see some people when they'll sit. Allah has given all, enough. But instead of each person now making shukr to Almighty Allah, his big amount what he got, he wasted it all just in the boast. So he will say, you know how many journeys I made? Immediately the other one will say, but I went to this place more than you. The other one will get irritated. He said, you know, I went here. And it never ends. It never ends. Just the boast. Allah Ta'ala said, Hatta zurtumul maqabir. It can become so bad that even you will go visit the graves just to be able to boast. In the time of the Arabs, they had this competition. Your tribe, your family, my family. So one time they had, everything was competition. Whenever they got together, each one had to show how much. So one time they said, how many people my father, you know my grandfather, how many grandchildren he had. The other one said, you know my grandfather, how many grandchildren. They said, let's start counting. So they started counting. They said 25, 35, 45. The other one started, they reached 50. This one got angry. He said, my grandfather had more children. But what happened? A certain battle took place. In that battle, more of our people died than your people. He said, more of our people died. Come, I'll take you to the graveyard. Let's go count. How many of my men died? See, such a funny thing. That man was happy. My grandfather died and all his children died. He said, count now, count. He said, my grandfather had more children than your grandfather. As they were talking this, Allah Ta'ala reveals Quran. Hatta zurtumul maqabir. Until you even visit the grave. And even there you counting graves and boasting about who had more. Immediately everyone was put back. That will it ever end? I visited one graveyard in a certain place. It was such a smart graveyard. Such a smart graveyard. Why it was so smart? One reason is the aunties are allowed. For one reason, then I understood why Islam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the woman must not come to the Qabristan. When they come Qabristan, they'll make Qabristan like a garden also. For them, everything must be smart. I visited this Qabristan. I said, this is, forget Qabristan, this looks like the Queen of England, her garden. Every grave was competing with the next grave. And the man making the most money was the flower seller. He stands at the front of the grave and he can ask any price. Because the auntie, if she sees that auntie put this flower on her father's grave, I'm going to put two of it. There was flowers. Then you get this toy. It's like a windmill. That as the wind blows, the thing turns. There was that day on the grave. Then there was that small well where you see the water coming out. There was that on whatever could go on the grave. I said a time will come, one auntie will put one satellite also. Say in case he needs Wi-Fi, he'll get Wi-Fi. It'll never stop. I looked at it and I thought at that time, Hatta zurtumul maqabir. The desire to be ahead, the desire to boast, even in the grave, you will see it. Hatta zurtumul maqabir. That was one meaning of this verse. The real meaning of Hatta zurtumul maqabir, however, was on a general meaning that the desire to have more, the desire to have more than the next person, this boasting of yours, Al-Hakum, has put you in so much of neglect, has made you so oblivious of something more important. Hatta zurtumul maqabir, and this will continue until finally you visit your own grave, meaning until death will come. The man will just carry on, carry on, carry on, and when death will come, he'll wonder what happened. Like, game over. Hatta zurtumul maqabir. It has made us oblivious of something more important. What is more important? If you meet a person and he's just earning and earning and earning, you ask him so much of effort, he say, I'm doing it for my family. So the family is more important. But amazing that earning made him oblivious of his own family. When you go to the family, you ask, how's your father? The boy will say, I got no father. The father says, I'm earning for the son. The son says, when he come home, he's in a mood. He's angry. He says, don't trouble me. Don't you see how much I have to work? He says, you lost your son on the thought that you will earn for your son. This boy is only waiting for you to die. He'll take everything, or one day he'll make dua for you. Allah Tabaraka Taala said, your desire for more made you oblivious of something more important. A man is earning and earning. He says, you have to look after the wife. You go to the wife, she's only complaining and complaining that my husband gives me no time. Whole day, Monday to Sunday, only in the business. I had a friend who had a shop in the mall. There was a time in the past, there was no such thing as malls. When the mall was created, everyone was so thrilled. In our town, a mall is coming. Whoever took shops in the mall, that Monday to Sunday is like a Jahannam on earth. From the morning to the evening, from the morning to the evening, work, work, work. Normally in the past they would say work, work, work until Saturday. And then Saturday and Sunday just drop. Then the mall came. The mall never allowed you to drop on Saturday or Sunday. I visited one country where people say it's the first world country. In that first world country, I went into certain houses where the husband and the wife work. They work in shifts. So when the husband is working, the wife is sleeping. And when she just manages to get up and have her breakfast or her lunch, then she leaves something by the microwave with one list of what you must do. This is in the fridge, this is in the microwave, this must be thrown in the bin. And the husband comes back and she's gone. When he comes back, he reads her list. They married. Do they ever see each other? No. Unless each one sees the other one sleeping. So I asked the man, when do you all meet? He said, weekends. I said, at least weekends you all can spend some family time together. What you all do on the weekend? He said, we clean the house. Clean. Because no one to clean the house. So weekend, he got the vacuum upstairs, she got the mop downstairs. He says, Sunday comes, both of them are just fast asleep. He say, we wait for holiday. When the holiday comes, every 3 or 4 months. He say, in that 3 or 4 months, we'll grab one holiday, 4 days. In that 4 days, we will spend time together. I say, you're all married and you'll wait after 4 months to spend time together. And the world said, it's the first world. Al-Hakumut Takathur. Allah Ta'ala said, the desire to get more made you oblivious for something more important. Your own life is more important. Your own time is more important. And then one thing comes most important, Akhirah. where a person just worries of earning. He becomes greedy. He's not worried if somebody else dies, somebody else suffers. The wars that the world sees around, it's because one group wanted to have more than the next. This whole world is like this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now reads this verse to Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. This was his sirat. He lived it. They saw it. They came into his house. He was lying on the ground. There was a mat. There was marks on his blessed body. The Sahabi radiyallahu anhu says, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just make an indication and we can build up for you something. Sometimes they would say, we saw what the kings of Rome and Persia, you are the beloved of Allah. Can we not put up something? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would then set up. And then he would say that Allah tabarak ta'ala has given them this world. And for us he has given us the year after. That way he would say it, the way he would say it, the one who asked the question would go shh. And that person who asked the question's entire life would change after that. Later on they would also see a lot of wealth. A lot of wealth was going to come in Islam. But the desire to have more, Allah tabarak ta'ala protected them all. May Allah tabarak ta'ala protect all of us. The desire, having lot is no problem. That desire, in Islam it is called at-tasharruf. At-tasharruf means that you lift up your eyes. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, something came. The Sahabi said, I don't want it. Nabi s.a.w. said, no, take it. He said, what comes from Allah without desire from your side is full of blessings. He said, yes, that wealth, where you are just waiting, you're putting your head up like looking, when it's coming. He said, that wealth, if it ever comes also, it comes with no blessings at all. Sometimes think of inheritance wealth. If you waiting, when it's coming, that's why all the fights start. Later on, what you're expecting so much doesn't come. Even what comes with no blessings at all. Don't ever have desire for more. Whatever comes will come with blessings. Put your head up and look at it. Even if it comes with zero blessings. To have more, there's no problem. To have the desire for more. And the desire to have more than the next. And to boast about things of this world. At-takathur. Allah save us all from that. The Sahabi radiallahu anhu says, I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was reading this verse, Al-Haakumut Takathur, the surah. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Yaqulu ibn Adam, that amazing is the son of Adam, meaning man, this is their nature. Which he meant, I don't want my ummah to have this nature. He says, the nature of man is, whole life he says, Mali, Mali, my wealth, this is mine. Hallaka yabna Adam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then says, O son of Adam, nothing is your wealth. Hallaka yabna Adam min malik. Illa ma akalta fa afnaita. Yes, that which you eat and you used up, that's yours. So today if the meal comes and you ate it, you can say, this is mine. I ate this. Gone, but afnaita is gone, but at least you ate it. O labista fa ablaita. Or you wore it and you finished it up. You wore it, but at least you wore it. Sometimes when a man purchases something of this world, because it comes brand new, I have seen certain people who buy a smart car. We gave the lesson to those people after that, that only buy that, that if something has to happen to that item tomorrow, the smile that you got today will remain smiling tomorrow. Then you are allowed to buy it. Otherwise it's too expensive for you. I went to one place. My friend who was driving drove a little fast. Too fast. He took a turn in a funny manner, so he burst two tires. Not one, but both tires burst. So for me, tires burst. I just told him like, okay, just phone now your uncle, your father and tell them like, to change the tires. But later on he's explaining to me that no, this tire they have to order from America. You don't get this tire. So they took the tow truck and the car was taken away. So then I'm asking him, how much is the tires? So nicely he told me, he understands what a Morana drives. So he says, Morana, the price of your car is the price of the tire. The price of your car, now I understood that. This is not just any tire. But alhamdulillah, no one in that family was angry. So at that time I said, only that man can have such a car. That if that tire bursts, the smile of yesterday must remain the smile of tomorrow. If not, it means you are the slave of your tire. Where the tire was your slave, you became its slave. That as long as you polished, as long as you're okay, I'm okay. If you get sick, I get sick. That's called a slave. If you burst, I burst. You buy a car, buy only that car. That if tomorrow your child mistakenly scratches the car, immediately you can say to him that alhamdulillah, your life is what's important, not the car. But if your scratch is not on the car, but that scratch comes onto the heart, that means the car is not on the pavement, the car is in the heart. Don't ever buy that car. Then you rather buy a nice, small, scroppy, jalopy, that you say whoever uses it, even if the wife drives it and bangs it 5 times, no difference. Sometimes in life, if you can't manage this, make one scratch. You will see brand new houses. Aunties, when they move in, they want everything to look so brand new. So when the first scratch comes on the tile, brand new tile, you see like their heart goes out. But after 5 scratches come, then they don't bother at all. Like, sometimes you must just send children in the house before the auntie comes. Just mess the thing up. After say, oh, gone. Now you say, now live in this house. Otherwise we'll become a slave to that which is never meant to keep its beauty. This world can't keep itself unique. Every day it goes one older. He says, oh, labista fa ablaita. If you wear your clothing and you let it get old, no problem, it's yours then. But if you bought it and it must stay in its original, it's not yours. Then you are its slave actually, it's the boss. He said, what you wore and you made go old, that's yours. Oh, tasaddaqta fa amdaita. Or that which you gave in charity and you sent it ahead, that's going to be there. That's yours. He said, وَمَا سِوَى ذَٰلِكَ فَذَاهِبٌ وَتَارِكٌ. And whatever is besides this, that man is going. And he is going to leave all of this for somebody else. Your wealth is only what you use. This verse, when it was revealed, the surah, the end of the surah, the beginning of the surah was, this made you oblivious of something more important. End of the surah, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. That remember, on that day Allah is going to ask you regarding every favor of His. The end of the surah was going to give the solution to the beginning of the surah. That if a man can remember this last verse, that on that day Allah is going to ask you regarding what He gave. If someone can remember this, he'll never always be greedy, desiring more. He'll always be shy of the favors of Allah which is already coming. Instead of saying more, 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 he will just be making more and more and more shukr of Allah. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. That on that day you are going to be asked regarding one favor. When the surah was revealed, Sahaba radiallahu anhum at that time were not living in an easy condition. So they were amazed that Allah is going to question us regarding what favor. They said, عَنْ أَيِّ نَعِيمٍ نُسْأَلُ. Remember the era. Remember our era. Now remember our attitude in life, how we complain. And remember their attitude, how shukar guzar they were, how they were grateful. But when this ayat was revealed, you're going to be questioned one day. They said, "An ayyi na'imin nus'alu?" Regarding what are we going to be questioned? Innama humal aswadan. The only food we have is the date and water. Little water they had in the desert, they hardly had water. They had the dates, kajur. He said, two things you got, the date and water. Al-ma'u wa tamar. He said, as for life, wa suyufuna ala riqabina. Our swords are always hanging by our throats. Wal-aduwu hadirun. The enemy is around the corner. We're living in this tense situation. There's no aman, there's no peace. Do you really call this we living it up? فَعَنْ أَيِّ نَئِيمٍ نُسْأَلْ O Nabi of Allah. What Allah is going to question us about? Look how he taught them. He said, إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ سَيَكُونَ. He said, this questioning is going to happen. That one sentence of his changed their entire attitude in life. That even this condition of yours, water and dates, and that your sword is hanging but you're not dead, your woman have not been raped, the enemy is present but they haven't attacked, even this condition is better than another condition. He created such a thought in their mind. After that, when they would speak about the gifts of Almighty Allah, sometimes a Sahabi radiallahu anhu would say, Al-amnu wa siha, I thank Allah that He has given me a healthy body. Because if the body wasn't healthy, how is the sword going to hang from the neck? He said, I thank Allah, He has given me a healthy body. Another one would say, Al-idraak bi hawasis sam'i wal basar, the ability to see, the ability to hear. He said, my Allah has mentioned in Quran, Inna sam'a wal basara wal fu'ad. Indeed, the ear, the eye, the heart, kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'ula. All of the people will be asked regarding this. Sahaba radiallahu anhu would narrate from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that on the day of Qiyamah, Almighty Allah will ask His servant, Alam aj'al laka sam'an wa basaran wa malan wa waladan. Did I not make for you an ear, an eye, wealth, children? Haven't I done for you? Sahaba radiallahu anhu would sometimes say, Al-ghada wal-asha. Hassan Basri would say, that what is the gift of Allah which He's going to ask on the day of Qiyamah? He said, Al-ghada wal-asha. To be able to have two meals in the day. Two meals. Going the world today, you will see many of the places in the world only have two meals. Hassan al-Basri rahimullah said, having two meals a day. When I read this thing, I think about, imagine he had to know South Africa. We have breakfast, lunch, supper, and we find tea all the places also. When I go for dawats, when I come for a program, one of the biggest, what you call, you can't say it's like a punishment, but one of the biggest fears I have is the food. Because I'll just reach and someone will say tea. In South Africa, tea means everything besides tea. I went to another place, Macedonia. They said, come for coffee. There they are as truthful to the word. They say, coffee, they only give you coffee. Nothing with the coffee. And if they come back to ask you, do you want any more coffee? All they will give is coffee. There at least you can drink coffee, coffee, coffee. Not one biscuit will meet you. In South Africa, you see tea, you don't see the tea. Sometimes the tea don't come at all. It's everything but tea. And then after the tea, you'll hear them saying, we're going for supper. After the supper from the kitchen, they'll ask, you want coffee? So the tea and the coffee, when he said, Al-ghada wal-asha, two meals a day, Allah will ask, me and you will wonder, how many we are going to ask about? But their mind was on that. That person who starts seeing the favors of Allah, he will never say, I want more, I want more. He will put his head down and in shame he will say, I don't do more for my Allah. I'm hardly doing anything and Allah's favors are just coming. He will never be desirous of more. His desire will be, how can I thank my Allah more? Because so much is coming. Malaadhul ma'kooli wal mashroob. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, a gift which Allah will ask on the day of Qiyamah is when the food and the drink is tasty. The taste of that food. We were at the park a few days ago. So we had a chance to see what is called a giraffe kill. Meaning the lions attacked the giraffe. So we never saw the lions there, but the giraffe we saw it. And the next day some people saw the lions eating. I had the chance only like to park my car right by the dead giraffe. And it was one day now. So you open the window and that smell of that dead giraffe that comes. Immediately you close your window. And then you drive. And I was wondering at another man, he's with his window open looking. I said, this man really likes animals. You can't live there. But to then see that animal coming, and that animal's food this is, and that animal will lick that blood with that terrible smell after 3 days, and that animal will say, this is food. And at that time you'll say, what is the favor of Allah upon every one of us? That meat was going to come, the blood had to first come out of it. We slaughtered it, take out the blood, the blood had to go. Then it was going to be washed, more blood was going to go. Then the woman were going to put on so much of masala, so much of spice. Then we were going to eat a meal. That meal is now just called food. It is called malaz, full of lazzat, full of enjoyment. Now they say you want something to drink. Now someone is bringing water, the different types of water from the different springs. Somebody else says bring a juice. Somebody else says I added this into the juice. It got this taste as everyone is drank. Sahaba radiallahu anhu also drank it. We also drink it. But they learn from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam such a lesson. That on that day, my Allah is going to ask, did I not honor you with my gifts? They would say, the interesting food and drinks that we are enjoying, I'm sure on that day, that is that na'im Allah is going to be asked. That person whose eye is on that day, that Allah will ask, did I not give you? He will never be greedy and say, I want more. He'll always look down and say, can I do for my Allah more? Malazul ma'kuli wal mashroob. And a great Sufi of his time, he said, Shiba'ul Butun. On that day Allah will ask, that how many times in your life came where you said, I'm full. There were people in the past who hardly ever said, I am full. They never ate a full stomach. It wasn't nature to eat a full stomach. It was regarded in the past unhealthy to eat a full stomach. Me and you, burping is like our alamat, our alarm clock, our signal. When the burp comes, it's to say to the body, I think you had enough. Then the man says like, Alhamdulillah. And he gives another burp. They never burped in the past. We burp. وَبَارِدُ الشَّرَابِ. And to have a cold drink. In the past, they never heard something called cold. They could get cool because there was no fridges. There was no freezers. It was outside. If it was the wind blowing, they would get a cool drink. But the icy cold drinks that me and you enjoy, people in the past heard about that the pleasures of Jannah, you will get a cold drink. Me and you live in those pleasures at the moment. Where the man says, bring some ice, bring it from the fridge, bring it from the freezer, everything is running. وَبَارِدُ الشَّرَابِ وَظِلَالُ الْمَسَاكِنِ. And then to have that roof on top of us. That when it is hot outside, we say, let's just go into the house. In the past, people only had the shade of the house as protection from the sun. They never knew the meaning of a fan. They never knew the meaning of an aircon. They never knew the meaning of open the windows and close the windows. Allah Tabarakallah brought us in an era where the gifts of the world are falling onto everyone. The unfortunate thing is, majority of us forgot that a day will come where people are going to be questioned. On that day, two types of questions will be made. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu. He met them outside. He asked them, at this hour, what has brought you out? It was very hot. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, al-hunger, al-joo. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hunger also brought me out. He said, let's go visit my Ansari friend. His name was Malik ibn Tayyihan, radiallahu an, Abul Haytham. He was not at home. His wife welcomed them in. And then she said, my husband has gone to fetch water. He'll be coming now. When he came, he was so happy. He said, whoever can have better guests than these? Immediately he ran. He brought what we will call dates. You break the whole branch. You break the branch, and then you bring the whole branch. On the branch, you get the different types of dates. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why you broke the branch like? He said, I wanted you all to be having it right from the branch itself, that my hand mustn't even touch. So now on that branch, you got the very ripe ones, what we call rutab. And then you got something which is called tamar, a little dry. You got busrun, which is like unripe. They began eating. Then he brought water, they drank. Then he went to slaughter an animal. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't slaughter an animal that gives milk. He brought the animal, they ate. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that this will be from those things which Allah will ask us on the day of Qiyamah. He will say, rutabun tayyibun, that what lovely rutabs we just had now. Wama'un baridun, how cool water it was. He said, wadhillun baridun, the shade of this place, how we enjoying. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got scared. And he said, oh Nabi of Allah, that do you fear upon us that in such a condition we were, and we went like so happy to grab this. But will Allah now on the day of Qiyamah call us and say? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave what an answer. He said, Inna dhalika lil kufar. Because Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, وَهَلْ نُجَازِي إِلَّا الْكَفُورِ, that question on the day of Qiyamah, that will be for the one, the word kufar, kafir, normally we mean disbeliever, but another meaning in the Arabic language is the one who never appreciates. He says, that question on that day will be for the one who never appreciate now. وَهَلْ نُجَازِي إِلَّا الْكَفُورِ, if the man was not appreciating here, he will have to make i'tiraf and appreciate there. Then he will be called, and every gift will be brought. And he will say, I gave you an eye, where you looked with the eye? I gave you wealth, what you did with the wealth? I gave you food, what you did with the food? As for the individual who made shukr here, there if Allah Tabarakala even asks, Mufassirin write, سُؤَالُ تَشْرِيفٍ لِمَنْ شَكَرَ وَسُؤَالُ تَوْبِيخٍ لِمَنْ كَفَرَ. For the one who made shukr and thanked Allah, yeah, if Allah has to mention it there, it will be in love. Like how the father says, oh my son, I did this for you. And the son just smiles. And he says, I did that for you. There will be a day on Qiyamah when Almighty Allah will say, oh my servant, if I never loved you, I wouldn't have done this for you. I wouldn't have done that. And the individual will just enjoy. And there will be another person who Almighty Allah in anger will say, oh my servant, did I not do this for you? And the servant will have no answer. We do not want to be of that group tomorrow. So we rather appreciate it today. Liman shakara. For the one who appreciates Allah's favors. And there's a lot to appreciate. Every person can just look at what he's having. When we got the water, that's, when I got the senses, that, how much of shukr we will make. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam goes on his journey to speak with Almighty Allah. It is an incident which is quite famous, but the lesson behind this incident. The one person says, oh Musa, if you are going to speak to Allah, then make mention of me. Say to him that there's a certain servant of yours, oh Allah, who is drowning in your kindness. So much of your favors are falling upon him, that when he looks at his neighbors not getting what he's getting, he feels shy. So say to Allah, that the doors that are opening on me, if some of them can be directed to the people around me, because I'm getting too much. I would like the people around to also enjoy. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says, no problem, I will take your request. On his journey, he meets the second. He says, if you will speak to Allah, make mention of a person. Say to him, oh Allah, there's a certain servant. It seems you have forgotten about. Because wherever I go, whatever door I touch, it's always closed. Nothing is working for me. Can't you open up one door for me? Musa alayhi salam goes to Almighty Allah. The answer is given that for person number one, if he wants one door to close or to be directed somewhere else, all you have to do is tell him that level of shukr that he's making, thanking Allah, he must just drop it a little. Because we have given a promise, whoever will appreciate will get more to appreciate. So tell him, drop his level of appreciation and we will drop one or two doors. He drops it more, we will drop it more. As for the second person, just say to him that all he has to do is start appreciating what we're giving him. And then he will start getting what he's not be getting at the moment. Musa alayhi salam says, what an easy answer. He comes to person number one. And he says, Almighty Allah says, all you need to do is drop your level of shukr. And he says, how can I ever do such a thing? When my Allah is giving me so much, are you asking me to stop thanking him? Musa alayhi salam says, then the longer you thank, the more you're going to get. Because Allah will never close the door for the one who's grateful. He says, but how can I stop? He's getting because he can't stop. As for the next person, all he had to do is start appreciating. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says, thank Allah for what you got. What question, what he will say? He says, oh Musa, what do I have? What do I have? And Musa alayhi salam says, as long as you remain blind to what you have, Allah is not going to show you those things that you don't have. There are some people in the world who will never appreciate. And there are some people who have been blessed with the ability to appreciate. Al-haakum al-takathur, the desire for more, the desire to have more than the next, the desire that boasting, I must be the boss. Allah tabarak ta'ala says, that has made us oblivious of something much more important. All we have to do is drop that desire. How we drop it? Think of the day. A time is going to come, everyone has to answer. Instead of having to answer on that day, rather appreciate it today. Today we appreciate it, tomorrow we're just going to enjoy. Today we use it without appreciation. Our desire for more will gather. It will make us oblivious of everything else. A time will come, our own families will hate us. Our own friends will hate us. We will one day hate ourselves. As for the man who appreciates, Allah will love him. The angels will love him. The creation will love him. Everyone around will love him. Allah tabarak ta'ala make us all abdan shakura, a servant of Allah who appreciates everything. When the eye opens, you will see around you, you will see within you, you will see day and night only the shukr of Allah. Before going to sleep, Allah's name will be on the tongue. As soon as the eye opens, the first thing is Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana. I thank Allah, you gave me another day to see. He will walk out, he will thank Allah. He'll come home, he will thank Allah. He'll thank Allah for health, he'll thank Allah for wealth, he'll thank Allah for children. The more he will thank, the more doors will open. His levels of shukr will never end. On that day, Allah will only honor him with saying, my servant, how I loved you. That's why I gave you that. That's why I gave you that. May Allah tabarak ta'ala make every one of us of those servants. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. When everyone is going to be asked on that day regarding the favors of Allah, before getting that question there, rather start answering the question here today just by making the shukr of the zat of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his kindness, he even gave us the words, and the best of words is Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah means all praises to Allah. And in which manner he taught it? He said, afdalu dua, the most unique dua you can ever make is Alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah. So they ask one question there. The dua is, oh Allah, give me this. Oh Allah, give me. That's dua. And in all praises to Allah, there's no dua there. There you're not asking for anything. There you're saying something. All praises for Allah. There's no dua. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that's the greatest dua. How? So they write, they say, Thana, the praise of a kind person. Thana'ul Karimi Dua'un. The praise of a kind person is a dua in itself. How? The people of the past, they were poets. They would go up to the king who was known for his generosity. All they had to go up to him was to say that your generosity is like the rain. It looks for the people who needs it. That was all. And the king would put his hand in his pocket and say, here, take, man, go. He just had to praise the king, and the king knew, if I don't give him, it's against the demands of his praise. When a king of this world had to empty his pockets with one man's praise, when me and you will thank Allah, Alhamdulillah, afdalu dua, it is the greatest dua man can make. Every time he will say, all praises for you, Allah, Allah will open up another door. Afdalu dua, Alhamdulillah. He taught us how to say this, Alhamdulillah. He taught us when eating, when you finish eating, Alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amana. He said, when you are wearing clothing, Alhamdulillahi alladhi kasana. He said, when you come out of the toilet, Alhamdulillahi alladhi azhaba. If you don't know any dua, the long parts of the dua, so much we all know is Alhamdulillah. May Allah tabarakala put this on our tongues. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.